Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. And welcome back to another episode of Revive. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's your girl, POC. I'm live coming to you on your airwaves tonight. Once again, this is your girl, POC. Welcome to another episode of Revive. Today is March 26, 2017. You know me, I'm always going to thank the man above for giving me this platform. I'm screaming thank you always, always screaming thank you. I am excited today because I have the whole squad in the building, a whole squad in the studio. Today I have Harmony the Goddess and True Heart as well. We are going to bring you a jam-packed show for you guys today. We have a lot to talk about, we have a lot to discuss, so I'm really excited to have both of them in the studio with me today. It's been a long time since we all have been in one place at the same time doing what we love to do, so I am extremely excited to have you guys back. Thank you guys for coming through always. Thank you always. We've all been working hard taking these flights. Afia just got back yesterday. True Heart, I'm sorry, just got back yesterday as well, taking these flights. I just got back myself last week. We just been out here traveling, trying to see the world. We also are all in school trying to, you know, better ourselves, grow as individuals, you know, and just be able to have the knowledge that we're looking for. So big ups to all three of us, you know, just trying to be these adults, you know, that society wants us to be. So I am extremely excited once again to have both of you guys in the studio. And also me, I'm a proud alumni right now. I want to give a huge shout out to Cheney University. I heard so much about their spring 2017 open house. They had Power 99, Mean to Say What there. I was extremely excited to see on social media, from what everyone was posting on their social media over the weekend. It was this past Friday. So I'm extremely excited. I'm about my alma mater right now, because I really want my school to thrive. I really want Cheney University to stand on its own, because Cheney is, within itself, is legacy. Cheney is the first HBCU. Once again, Cheney is the first HBCU. So shout out to Cheney University. And also, this is their 180th year being established as an institution, as a state college, and also as a university. So I am very proud of my school right now. So I do want to give a big shout out to Cheney University. It makes me feel good. And I really hope that, you know, based on the turnout that I've seen, was happening on Friday, that you guys pick up the enrollment, because it really is really imperative that we do, because I really want Cheney to, you know, survive out here, and continue to be the very first HBCU, to continue to be the only HBCU in the Pashy school system. So that is really exciting to see that, you know, we got a lot of support from prospective students on this past Friday. And also big up to Power 99 for coming down and showing support for Philly's very own HBCU. So thank you. As well as, I'm going to be pressed and I'm going to shout myself out. Why? Because my birthday next week. My birthday next week. I don't know. I'm just excited. I wanted to let that be known. My birthday next week. I'm really excited about turning the age of a quarter of a century. I don't know why. I can't really explain it, but I'm like extremely excited. It's just this feeling that I'm getting to just say, yo, I'm about to be a quarter of a century. Because a lot of things that I do, I'm the youngest person in the room. So to be able to say, yo, you know, like, I'm a quarter of a century now. I feel like I worked to be where I am now. I feel like I worked hard enough to say, or sit around the table of people who are 10 times older than me, you know. So I am really excited to, you know, for my birthday that's coming up this week, well, at the end of this week. And the only thing that really, really just sticks out in my mind by me turning a quarter of a century is this Forbes 30 under 30 list. I keep talking about it because I'm going to keep speaking it into my existence. I'm extremely excited because I believe, I know that I'm going to make this list. Why? Because I do so much around in the community as well as, you know, in my family and things of that nature that I feel that it is going to stick out and someone will see it and I will be on that list. And it's not all about making a list. It's not entitlement either. It's really just, you know, someone being able to see what you're doing and give you some kind of accolade for doing it, you know, because the kind of work that, you know, I do, True Heart does, and Harmony the Goddess does, it's humble, it's organic, it's natural, it's things that we want to do based off the kindness of our heart, the way that, you know, we grew up or how we actually feel towards people as individuals. So, and every time that list comes out every January, and to see who's on it is just exciting. Like, yo, like, people out here really doing things, you know, and it's sometimes it's pushed under the table because it's not, you know, on the news top five week this, you know, for the week. But it's really exciting to see that list come out every January. And I'm really excited to have my name on that list within the next 5 years. So that's another thing that's really sticking out in my mind right now is I have 5 years and this is a short term goal that I have set for myself. And I really plan on making and kicking down this door because I am a true believer of kicking down doors and creating my own lane. I really believe in creating your own lane. Sometimes it can be a contradiction a little bit because every great leader was once a great follower. But in order to be the leader, you do have to have some kind of ideal or mentor or role model. So that's where you become that follower in a sense, but you're not necessarily following, you're learning. You're being taught, you know, you're being guided through the experiences that you're going through. So I do believe that if I make that list, when I do make that list, because I know I'm going to make that list, I would definitely be one of those great leaders that, you know, people can look at. Because, you know, it's me, your girl, POC, proof of consciousness. I want to bring back the power of unity through the word, through words, through the power of communication is impossible. I want each and everybody out there who's listening to understand how much power communication actually really has. And there's so many different ways that you can communicate, you know, from verbal to sign language to actually speaking to nonverbal to written communication, things like that. So it's so many different ways that you can make a difference and also bringing back the unity once again through the power of communication. And that's my niche. That's my go-to because I love to talk, as I always say, and holding a conversation and speaking to different people and different individuals can really bring different outlooks and different perspectives on a lot of different things. And that's one of the reasons why I love talking, because you never know what someone is going through or you never know what someone is thinking. And until you ask the right questions or you have these different kind of conversations, you would never be able to understand. Of course, you know, you won't be able to walk in their shoes, but at the same time, we all put our pants on the same way. I hope you guys caught that analogy, you know, but I just want to say thank you once again for the whole squad being back in the studio today. We are going to have a jam packed show. Make sure you guys stay tuned for What's Buzzing. Also for the Truth series. We have a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, especially in the What's Buzzing series. We have a lot of current events that we want to touch on because, like I said, we have all been away for a while. So we haven't really touched on any current events, but we will definitely be touching on some current events for you guys. So to update you guys on what's going on out here, if you're not aware, make sure you stay tuned because we're going to make you aware here on Revive, as well as the Truth series. True Heart's going to come back and she's pretty much going to give us her experience. She just was traveling to Dubai for the past week and a half, and I'm sure she has a lot of amazing experiences that she's going to mention for you guys to hear, and just, you know, so you can get that traveling mindset, you know, just jumping out there and taking these flights, because it's important that we do see what else is out there in the world. It's important that we, you know, we go see different cultures and different environments, so because what we see on TV or what we see in these movies are not necessarily always true. So I do believe when she even told me that herself, she was like, just being out there can really change your whole mind. And that's literally one of the rebuttals that I had when I came back from my trip as well. Just me being out there really, truly changed my mindset. And not necessarily influenced the way of me thinking, but it helped me to gather thoughts a little bit more easier when it comes to having different outlooks on, you know, things outside of the United States, because not everyone is going through what we are going through, even though we're going through things over here, it's nothing compared to what they're going through over there. One thing that really stood out to me in Jamaica as well is, if you listen to the interview I had when I played it last Wednesday, was Robert, who was on the podcast, he said, you have to understand Jamaica is a third world country. America is a first world country. And that still sticks out to me. That still resonates in my mind every time I think about where I'm living and what I'm doing. Because that is a big difference from living in a third world country and living in a first world country. It's, you cannot even compare to the type of living. They barely even have water, electricity, things of that nature. You know, just the bare necessities that, you know, we take advantage of every day, they don't have over there. You know, Trueheart was telling me about one experience where she was trying to get into a venue, and her cousin couldn't get in because of the garb that she had on her head. And, you know, it's just different experiences. It's like, yo, like, if this was America, you could never tell me that, you know, I have the freedom of religion. I'm getting in this venue, you know what I mean? But because you were in another part of the world, you have to do nothing but respect that culture, respect that, you know, that environment that you're now putting yourself into. And as an American, you know, we don't necessarily understand that. Like I said, you know, we don't get it. It's like, what? Y'all don't have a constitution over here? Y'all don't have rights over here? But you have to understand the difference when you are traveling, which you're going to face, the obstacles, I should say, that you are going to face when you are traveling. But I do encourage everyone to jump out there and take these flights because it's important that you do so. And I really encourage everyone to just get a passport, even if you're not going to get on a plane or even if you're not going to, you know, travel right now at this time. I still think it's imperative that we all get our passports because you don't want to be restrained to the United States. If anything goes down, you want to be able to say, hey, I have mine and I'm getting up out of here, you know. So I definitely think it's imperative that we all go get our passports. It is a little, you know, little pocket change. It is a little steep. I ain't gonna lie to you, but it's an investment. it's definitely an investment. My opinion is a little steep, you know, but to others, you know, who got it, it may be a little different. But what I'm saying is it's important that we go get these, passports, and definitely because like, even when I was in Jamaica, they was explaining to me that only 100 people per year get a visa from their country. Wow. And I can't even think like 100 people, man, I talk to 100 people a day, you know what I'm saying? So to think only 100 people get a visa and how hard it is to get these visas in other countries, it's just, whoa, you know what I mean? And even to have the, because when we're going to get a passport, it's completely different from going to fill out a green card or going to fill out an application for a visa. We're just going to the post office and dropping off $100 and saying, hey, how long until this is going to be in my mailbox? Versus them, they're applying for something. They're like going in a pool, like a lottery to be picked, you know, to be released from their country. Like, I can't really fathom that idea. If you think about it, like, picture going into a place and saying, hey, I'm trying to apply. Once again, I'm applying, so not necessarily guaranteed that you're going to get this, because when we walk in the post office, we're like, hey, I'm coming to buy, you know, so they're coming to apply for a visa or a green card. And it's like, okay, so sign your name here and here, and you'll be put in a lottery with thousands of others, you know, and one out of 1,000, you may get it. Just think about that. Just think about the many people who have applied multiple times, and you still have to pay for this. They're still paying to apply for the visas and the green cards, mind you. So let's say they drop that $100 and it never comes in the mail. You know what I mean? That's a huge investment that can fall at any given time because of the structure of your country. You know what I mean? Or how your administration is being ran. And another thing that stuck out in my mind as well for me being in Jamaica is like, they don't necessarily have presidents, they have prime ministers. And that's like a whole different outlook, a whole different way of thinking when it comes to politics and what should be done. Because a prime minister and a president are two different things. So traveling, I'm trying to tell you, can really, really open your mindset about different things. So definitely stay tuned to the True series, because I'm sure she's going to bring some deep knowledge on what she experienced, on how her travel went when she was flying back and forth from Dubai. I think she went to two different countries. What countries did you go to?
I went to Dubai, UAE. I got to go to Abu Dhabi, which is also in the UAE. There are 7 countries in the UAE. So I went to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and Doha, Qatar.
Dope. So in Jamaica, they don't call them like countries. They call them like parishes within that country. So when I went to Jamaica, I hit on about maybe, I think it's like 14 total. I think I hit on like maybe 7. Yeah. And I did it all on a bike. We was out here. We was riding them bikes. So definitely shout out. I had a great time in Jamaica. But today on the True Series, I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about the True Series. I'm sorry. Today on Revive, we're going to have a deep conversation about the self-realization of womanhood. So I do want you guys to stay tuned. But before we get started into that conversation, Harmony, the goddess, is going to come on and give us the What's Buzzing series. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. We are going to go to a very small commercial break. Right after this commercial break, stay tuned for Harmony, the goddess. She's going to drop some definite deep current events that need to be said and explained and just have a better understanding about what's going on. These are things that we need to stay aware of. These are things that we need to stay on top of, because it's important that we do. We can't let certain things just slip. We have to speak about it. We have to bring this to the forefront. We have to speak out. We have to speak up, because, like, once again, it's, if we let it go, everyone's going to let it go, and our voices are never going to be heard. So I believe in speaking up and speaking out. So stay tuned to the Truth Series. Why I keep saying the Truth Series? Oh my God. Stay tuned to What's Buzzing. What's Buzzing by Harmony the Goddess. We'll be right back.
Okay, now. My baby don't mess around, because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. Really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door. Oh, 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 don't try to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Yeah. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking through together, cause we don't know how. How, really been for yeah. Ooh, oh. And what they say is,
nothing is forever.
Then what makes
love itself.
So why you, are we so in denial if you know we're not happy? Yeah. Far too fly to P card the pilot, far too complicated to be plain. I'm an airplane mo on my David Blaine. What up, Saggy?
Yo, I was at the trend. This is great. And then I was like,
hey!
I've never played this. If anyone's asking, I've never played.
What's buzzing? Lost in a world full of words, or a combination of which enters me. On to rants such as what's buzzing. What's amazing is what a large world this is. Today in this world, we are either talking about the something, the no thing, and what's buzzing. Current events, let's talk about it. You have an opinion. Let's talk about it. What's buzzing?
And welcome back to Revive. So, Harmony the Goddess, what is buzzing out there today?
Hello, Miss POC. Greetings and blessings, beautiful people. This is Harmony the Goddess coming to you live on Revive What's Buzzing, where we bring awareness to the current events going on in this world. So, let's talk about it. Today we have current events that I will introduce. Please feel free to call in 215-490-9832 or tweet at Revive_POC, hashtag what's buzzing, hashtag Revive. So before I get into the article regarding the first current event, I would like to play a clip from you.
Today in Washington, D.C., more than a dozen teenagers have been reported missing, all of them Black or Latino. These are just some of their faces we're showing. There was an emotional town hall last night. Members of the community spoke out, telling their city leaders they're afraid for their families because of what they view as an apparent spike in the number of missing kids. Sadly, though, for that community, the chief of police told the crowd that this is far from a new problem.
The disturbing fact is that we do have that many kids that go missing in our city, and it's been that way for a long time.
We're joined by Trayon White. He is the D.C. City Councilman for District 8, which is one of the areas where a lot of those kids are missing. Trayon, thank you. Or Councilman, I should give you the respect that you're due, sir. Thank you so much for joining me. First of all, there's been some confusion about whether there has been an uptick in the amount of missing kids or if it's that they are increasing the reporting of the amount of missing kids. Did you feel like you got some clarity last night?
I think there was there's both. I think there is more awareness of what's going on, and the presence of social media has made it more forthcoming so people can know what's going on. It's relevant information in a timely frame, but the reality is the numbers are just too high, and so we have to
face
the reality.
They are too high. I mean, you look at 2,000 plus every year. That is, if it's one child missing, it's a frustrating and disturbing thing to begin with. Is part of the challenge in this the issue that it's how they're reported if the child is deemed a runaway as opposed to a child that has been abducted?
What we see is that not a lot of abductions that's going on. We see a lot of missing persons, mostly African-American girls. What the community is alarmed about, we had a 10-year-old girl missing the other day, but there was no Amber Alert. We just feel like, you know, if this was a white person or from another neighborhood, there'd be more alarm about it. But this has been going on for quite some time with little to no press. And so we've used social media, got the community involved to get the word out.
So 2 months ago, the Washington Metropolitan Police Department's new commander, Chanel Dickerson, made a pledge. Let's find our missing girls. Let's find our missing girls. Now, as the department posts profiles of missing Black and Latina girls in the nation's capital on its Twitter feed almost daily, members of the Congressional Black Caucus are calling for a federal investigation. In a letter Tuesday, the lawmakers asked Attorney General Jeff Sessions and FBI Director James Corney to devote the resources necessary to determine whether these developments are an anomaly or whether they are indicative of an underlying trend that must be addressed. When children of color go missing, authorities often assume they are runaways rather than victims of abduction. Sessions was briefed on the issue Friday, Justice Department spokesman Sarah Flores said. The Attorney General is aware of the reports and is looking into the issue.
The FBI declined to comment on the matter. The Metropolitan Police Department recorded 501 cases of missing children so far in 2017, and the year is not even over yet, and said 22 cases were open as of Wednesday. Quote, we have received a lot of media attention and a lot of concern from the public because of the number of releases, Dickerson said at a news conference on Friday. There have been concerns that young girls in the District of Columbia are victims of human trafficking or have been kidnapped, or that there's an increase in the number who have gone missing. Annual statistics show cases of missing children have remained relatively steady in Washington over the past several years, with 2,222 cases in 2014, 2,433 in 2015, and 2,242 in 2016. I think this is absurd that there's children missing literally every day, and it's increasing. And I just want to know, you know, what is going on, or where are they? I want to get y'all input on it. How do y'all feel about that? That every day there's a child missing, that every day a parent really has to, you know, kiss their child and say, not even know that they might come home from school, or they might come home from going out with their friends. You're always worried about that. How do y'all feel about the missing children in D.C.?
Well, it's me, your girl, POC. It's scary, honestly. I actually had the pleasure of meeting Trayon, too. So I want to congratulate Trayon, who is the councilman for Washington, D.C., the Southeast District. I had the chance of meeting him as well when he was running for his position right now. So, and he also is a millennial. He's under 30, doing a humongous job out there in the Southeast area of Washington, D.C. So big ups to Trayon, and I wish you many success on your future endeavors and what you're going to do for that city. But what I wanted to say, I think it's really scary. Why it's scary is because, honestly, we don't know what is causing it. You know, you actually proposed this question to me. You were like, so are they missing or are they running away? You know what I mean? So it's really scary to know what's really going on out here. And then, like how Trayon even said in the clip, social media is now playing a huge part of what's going on. You know what I mean? So it can be a joke. Like, remember when we were in Philadelphia, we had the clown effect where everyone wanted to run out and be a clown or make these clown posters and things like that. At one point, it was something that was very demonic and very, you know, you shouldn't do. But then everyone did it because social media took a hype on it. So it could be a trend. You know what I mean? So it is scary to even think that, you know, young girls out here are trying to be a trend when it comes to becoming missing. But at the same time, I'm praying for that DMV area, and I really wish that we bring all these girls home, because just the number of 22, or how she said in the clip, over a dozen, it's really, you know, 501. You know what I mean? Then each year it's always over 1,000 based on the numbers you gave. You said about 2,200 in 2014, 2,400 in about 2015, and then another 2,200 in 2016. So it should even think that, you know, over 2,000 kids are being missed, like literally being missed, because people are looking for them. People, families are missing their kids, you know. It's crazy. And then also she said something, a different statistic, about they're all being African-American or Hispanic, you know what I mean? So that really stood out to me as well. It's like, so what is going on with the brown and black kids in the city of Washington, D.C.? And it's not just happening in D.C., or it's not just happening in the DMV area. It's everywhere, because in Jersey, we just had a number coming out, too, last week. So I just say that we pay attention to our kids. We listen to first off, we need to listen to our kids, and we just need to respect them as human beings and not just, you know, put them in a childlike category or box, because they can definitely be going through things. And if you don't appeal to them, you know, they could run away. So I'm just hoping and praying that these are just runaways who will be returning to their homes pretty soon, and not actually being abducted or, you know, in these child pornography things and all that stuff. I don't even want to think that way. But Trueheart, how are you feeling?
I definitely think that is very, very sad. I agree with both Harmony the Goddess and POC. In a sense, it's very scary, because I don't have children now, but in the future, you know, I hope to bear children, and to think that if I do have a daughter, potentially someone may be preying on her. And human trafficking is real, and it starts from when they're young girls to teenagers. So there's no age limit. And I think that if, not to be controversial, but if this was a blonde hair, blue eyed female, that they would have been had FBI on it. That little girl would have been found. If you guys have any thoughts, concerns, or comments on the missing DC girls, you can call in at 215-490-9832. Again, the number is 215-490-9832. Or if you're more of a social media person, you can definitely tweet Revive_POC. Be sure to hashtag What's Buzzing. We definitely need your input on this, because it's honestly, I would hate to say that this is an epidemic, but I would say that it's something that needs national and, if not, international attention. And I just really hope and I pray that they are safe, they're sound, they're in their right mind, and that no one or nothing has taken advantage of them. And I can only think about Bring Back Our Girls that sparked in 2014 in Nigeria. And to have it on the home front within the United States, in this first world country, and we have access to a lot of different things that other countries don't have access to. I just hope that this will stay in the forefront of people's mind and not just be something to post to get likes on Instagram or Twitter or anything of that nature, but really be engaged in the fight and really be engaged in the hunt for these girls. If you see something, say something.
I love how you just said that. If you see something, say something. Definitely speak up and speak out always. And when you just said that, I'm going to piggyback off what you just said about being here in the United States, like, because human trafficking is real. And then to even think about that number being, or is exploding, coming out of the DMV area, like, the nation's capital. This is where the president is. You know what I'm saying? This is federal ground. So this is how much respect, or this is the, you know, indecency that people have for this country, because it's happening right in front of 1400 Pennsylvania Avenue, if that makes sense. So pretty, just be aware, stay woke, know what's going on, talk to your kids, listen to your kids, just understand where they're coming from as well, because it can be psychological as well, always. No, True, what you were about to say?
I was definitely just going to agree with you, but also I work in the social services field, so we have children go AWOL every single day, and it breaks my heart. I'm new to this, so I'm like in my supervisor's office like, oh no, we have to find her and this, that, and the third. And they just say, well, I really hope that she's not engaging in sex trafficking. And this is real. When you're on the streets and someone promises you a warm cot, food, and some new clothes and different things of that nature, it's easy to kind of take them up on that offer. So I just really like I said before, hope and pray that they're not engaging in sex trafficking, but to bring to the forefront and let them know. Even in, I work in Philadelphia, so my supervisor is saying that in the city of Philadelphia, and it's real. It's not only in Philadelphia, it's in the DMV area. Think about that. That's three different states. Well, DC isn't a state, but it's federal government, it's federal property, but that's three different states. Even think about the tri-state area. You can get to Jersey in a minute. You can get to Delaware in a minute. So there's nothing to just get in somebody's car and do not know where you're going. So hopefully even if they are deemed as runaways, it's still a big issue as the missing, because I'm the type of person, I want to dig deeper. What was the issue of running away? I know yesterday I've read an article, one of the girls was interviewed, and she said that she ran away because her foster mom wasn't treating her fairly or was mistreating her. That's an issue in itself. Let's talk about the foster care system. Let's talk about the Department of Human Services. Let's talk about the different systems that maybe have caused these girls to get in predicaments that they don't necessarily want to be in. So there's a lot of systems that need to be under investigation, and different things need to be happening and changing.
I agree with you. I do think that it's a triple down effect always, because it's always a reaction after every action, if that makes sense. And another thing that really stands out as you were speaking, you got my mind going, got me juicing over here, was that, in my opinion, sex trafficking is a terrorist activity. You know what I mean? So our president, Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, is so gung ho on terrorist activities. We're to the point where he wants to ban, you know, people out the country, but we have terror activity going on right here, like literally right here in front of him, right here in front of his home, the White House, where his family is now staying. So I definitely, once again, just reiterate, stay awoke, like stay wake up, people. Stay woke, stay woke, stay woke, and just pay attention to what's going on out here and listen to your kids. But Harmony, what else is buzzing out here?
Okay, thank you so much, Miss POC and True Heart. Our next current event is the New Jersey School Slave Auction. This had me appalled because I am a Jersey girl, born and raised. But a New Jersey school is coming under the fire after an elementary school class held a mock slave auction. Fifth graders at Jefferson School in Maplewood held the mock auction while under the supervision of a substitute teacher. The website said the activity was not part of the curriculum in the South Orange Maplewood School District. There was a sale of a black child by white children in the classroom. Excuse me. Parent of a student in another class at the school told CBS New York, "If you're demoralized, sold on a block in 2017, it may affect you the rest of your life." I agree. "I'm disgusted, really disgusted a child was bought," another parent who was not named told the station. The classroom regular teacher found out that the mock auction, which had been videotaped after returning and sent a letter home to parents. The teacher, who has not been named, said the incident would be used as a teachable moment to elaborate on the gravity of this part in our history. According to a copy of the letter obtained by the Maplewoodian website, the school district sent a statement to the website saying it did not condone the activity. It blamed the substitute and said it would look again at training and improve supervisory protocols for substitutes. The statement from Susan M. Turner, the district's communications director, did not offer an apology. Superintendent John Ramos later apologized at a school board meeting. A letter sent to parents from the school said the video shows the students treating the auction lightly. I mean, the jovial nature of the video suggests that either there is a lack of understanding about the true barbarity of a slave auction or a lack of awareness of how treating this topic comically is offensive, the letter said, according to the ABC New York. The letter said that the incident would be turned into an opportunity for our students to learn and grow. The incident comes on the heels of an assignment at another school in the same district in which students made posters for slave auctions. The district apologized for that incident as well. So in Jersey, there was a slave mock auction. And my question is, yes, we are undereducated about our history. And in a child's school, I want to know, what was the intention behind teaching these students this? What was the message trying to get across? Is it devaluing a human being? Or because these are kids we're talking about. They're fifth grader kids. And if it's not taught right, I think it could go in any type of direction. I want to know how you feel about that.
I do not agree with it. I'm on the fence because I'm all for liberal education and I'm all for creativity in the classroom. However, I really think that there should have been some earlier precautions taken, whether a statement of purpose was being sent to the parent or the guardian, or whether the school should have sent out a letter saying this is what this professor or teacher wants to do in the school or in the classroom. But I definitely think that I'm all for creativity, like I said. However, it just opens up a can of worms for people to get outraged and not understand the purpose, because only the students and the teacher were in the classroom at the time. But I definitely think that you have to take some precautions when you do things like that. It's not just putting a flyer up on a PowerPoint and say, these are what they look like. No, you had a boy being sold in an auction and had them making fake slave flyers and posters. So I think that some things shouldn't be taken lightly, and that's definitely something that we may never know the purpose of the assignment or what that teacher was thinking, because they probably were just, oh, this is a great idea and let me do it. But if another school was under a spotlight for doing it, why would you replicate that? I just really don't understand. But that's New Jersey, and they have Chris Christie, so yeah.
They definitely still have Chris Christie. What were you about to say?
It's not just in Jersey as well, because I just read an article about Howard, and Howard kind of had the same situation, and they did a mock slave auction as well, and they're trying to remove that president from the school. So it's all over. But I think that out of all the events in history, I don't think that should be taken lightly as well, because it is a little offensive, but also we do need to know our history, I would say.
I agree with you. I don't think it's offensive at all. I'm actually with it. It may sound very, you know, strange, but I'm actually with it. Why I'm with it is because you guys said they were creating posters and actually going through a mock visual of what a slave auction once looked like. In my opinion, I'm a visual learner. So I'm not going to sit here and read a 2,000-page textbooks to figure out what happened if you can literally just show me what happened. You know what I mean? If I can react it, if I can act it out to even get the feeling inside. Because in acting, they take on these characters and they become these different characters and they feel those feelings, if that makes any sense. So for a fifth grader who was maybe between the age of 9 and 10 to reenact something like that, they had to feel something. Those questions, like at between the age of 9 and 10, the only thing that you know how to say is why, because you want to know. You know what I mean? You want answers. You demand answers at this point because you want to know what is going on. Why are black people being hung on noose on the side of a tree? You know what I mean? For being black? I don't get it. So what that teacher did, yes, how you said, Trueheart, you know, precautions. Yeah, so maybe he or she should have sent something home saying, hey, you know, your child will be taking part of this mock slave auction. I just wanted to give you a heads up. Maybe not exactly in those words, but something similar to that, just giving them a heads up, allowing them to know, you know, what is going on in the criteria of this school and also within this classroom. Because me being, like I was explaining to you earlier, me being the innovative teacher and learner that I am, I can't stop from expressing myself. So if we're in a classroom setting, which is a setting to learn and express yourself and also be able to, you know, throw different ideas out there of how to learn, the different teaching and learning styles that, you know, that are going on now. So me being the innovator that I am, if a kid stimulates my mind and says something about, you know, for example, Langston Hughes, I'm going to go and bring up a poetry about Langston Hughes. You know what I mean? Or, and it may not necessarily be the best poem about Langston Hughes, because Langston Hughes wrote about slavery. Langston Hughes wrote about the troubled times that African Americans were going through during the Harlem Renaissance. You know what I'm saying? So some words that may be, well, some words that were said out of Langston Hughes' mouth at that time are not always politically correct, but they need to understand that, because Langston Hughes is a pioneer in the game when it comes to African-American history. So, you know, me being the person that I am, I can't stop myself from teaching that at that time. I can't say, oh, hold on, let's have this conversation once I get your parents a prerequisite, you know? So it's not necessarily going to go like that. For another example, Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton was an educator who was part of the Black Panther Party, who moved things. He was assassinated because of the way that he moved things, because of the way that he taught people, because the knowledge that he brought front to different African Americans across the country. You know what I'm saying? So I can't stop myself from mentioning to my students who Fred Hampton was when we speak of the Black Panther Party. Black Panther Party did so much for us as African Americans in that fight, in that movement, in that era. So why not bring up Fred Hampton? Because to the government at that time, to Hoover at that time, Fred Hampton was a terrorist. You know what I mean? Fred Hampton was someone that he felt was trying to divide the country, but honestly, he was trying to bring the country together through unity. So, you know, these are different figures of people who I would bring to the forefront when it comes to teaching and learning about Black history. So I think that is important. Once again, the Queen, Nina Simone, when it comes to art and music, why not start with an education piece on Nina Simone? I'm going to bring that to the forefront for my young kids to understand what it means to be the first African-American woman to be a classical piano player. You know what I'm saying? So in the troubled times that she went through, even when she was going through, you know, her legacy that she created for herself, she was still a civil rights leader. She still fought on the forefront through music, if that makes sense. So not everything she was saying at that time was politically correct. You know, not everything she was saying at that time was wanted to be heard from the masses. But as us as African Americans, we adapted to everything she was saying because she knew what we were going through. She fought the same fights as us. So me being in that classroom setting, I can't take that away from, you know, my youth. I want to teach my youth the truth. I don't want to teach my youth just that Martin had a dream. Not saying nothing's wrong with Martin's dream, because we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Martin having this dream. You know what I'm saying? And Rosa Parks, you know, not getting up off this bus. It's so much more that we can talk about. And that's what is going on in our education system now. We're not bringing the truth up, and when we do bring the truth up, we see it as a mockery, or it could be a disparity between, you know, the black or the brown or the white students in the classroom. No, we all should be learning the same things, if that makes sense, so we all can get a better understanding about our history. Because Caucasian people, white people, however you want to say it, need to understand black history as well. Students, white students need to understand black history as well, so they can understand why we are fighting the way we are fighting now today. I'm sorry to rumble too hard. I know you had something to say, but I really had to get my point across. I really feel deep about that, because a lot of people tore that professor down or that teacher down based on what he did. And it was a substitute teacher even at that. You know, that makes it even better. Like, yo, I'm not full time, but I'm going to come in and I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do what I can do. We're not going to play video games. We're not going to play red light, green light. We're actually going to get, you know, something done today. We're going to get part of the curriculum expanded today. So I really feel like they should expand the curriculum to a point where things become visual when it comes to African-American history, my opinion.
I agree. You are very passionate about the subject, but I definitely am a visual learner as well. So the fact that it was a substitute teacher, so he may have just done this off a whim, so he wasn't able to get the parents' approval. But I think bringing something up organically, such as Nina Simone, Langston Hughes, or Fred Hampton, I think that that's just something that was said and it triggers it. But it's different when you have children acting out something. So that's my only rebuttal. So you're shaking your head like, nah, I don't agree. But I definitely just think that there's just certain precautions that need to be taken when you're doing something like that, so the parents or the guardians or whoever is around that child can be prepared for the rebuttal or the questions or different things of that nature that are going to come about after the assignment.
Thank you, True Heart. And I do agree as well. My thing is just that I want to know the intention and the message that is being taught to the children, mm-hmm. More so about, you know, a human being and that issue behind that. I have a question though. What about, because it was a white teacher in a classroom full of white kids and there was that one black child, does that make any difference that there was a white white substitute? Would it be different for a black teacher in a more diverse of a classroom? How do y'all feel about that?
To answer your question, it does make a difference, yes. Why it makes a difference? Because you're teaching from your own perspective. You're teaching from your own thoughts. You're teaching from your own opinions. So it would make a difference if a 22-year-old did it versus a 50-year-old who did it. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with age, gender, ethnicity, background, anything like that. It's always going to be different depending on who's teaching. You know what I mean? Because we're the same age, but at the same time, I'm going to teach it a little bit different than how you would teach it. You know what I mean? You will put a lot of love and unity in it, and I will put a lot of black power in it. Let's get it. You know what I mean? So, I just think that, you know, what makes the difference is the actual person and what that person is trying to get across to those individuals who they're teaching. So I think that's what makes the difference. But I do feel that, you know, I don't necessarily want to cut the white person out when it comes to teaching African American history, because if you think about it, a lot of white people do actually go and try to understand the history of African Americans. They really, really do. They love it. That's what I'm going to say. They really do love it. They enjoy trying to understand it because it was their fathers and their grandmothers and their sisters and their uncles who did what you know, who did these things, who put us in these slave blocks and who hung us with these noose. So they want to understand why they did it, if that makes sense. So, yes, it does play a big difference who is teaching it. But I wouldn't want to get into the whole racial tension of it all, because that's like a whole nother drawn out situation.
I think that intentions are and perspective is totally different. So we don't know the professor. I keep calling professor. We don't know the teacher's intentions behind it, because God only knows he or she may have had the best intentions, but it's also about perception and it's about your perspective. So I'm not going to say that if he was black that I would feel any different. I still would say the same thing about just a certain precautions. But I think when you're talking about perspective, especially if that was the only black kid in the classroom, imagine how he felt. I feel like the severity of it and the importance of it and the conversation that needs to be had was, this is a serious subject and everyone needs to be taken seriously. But you already feel, having gone to a PWI, and this is a college level, but having gone that, you already feel your race. W.E.B. Du Bois talked about double consciousness. So you already feel your race in a predominantly white classroom. So to have an experience like that, I know that the student was just like, okay, well, not only do I have to be a little black boy today, now I gotta be a slave today. So, and I can only imagine the conversation that student had with their parents, and I can only imagine the conversation that the white students had with their parents. But they're all around the same age, so hopefully they had people outside of the professor or the teacher to help educate further, because that's not one thing that can be addressed in one classroom setting in a 50 or 60 minute time slot, however long the classroom was. But so just going back to your original question, if it was a black teacher, I would still feel the same way. But I definitely think that you can only really teach from experience. So I think that that's when it comes into play. I feel like the black student may have related better to a professor, I mean, a teacher that looked like them. But I think that's where race comes into play. But education is hard. Being a teacher is hard. So anybody who takes up that journey and takes up that calling is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's needed.
So what's buzzing out there, Harmony Goddess? I heard you got something else for us.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Before I get into this next article, it's going to be regarding the Philadelphia District Attorney Seth Williams.
Let's talk about it.
So I'm just going to play a clip for you really quick. Please, please, please call in 215-490-9832. You have an opinion. Let's talk about it. I want to hear what you got. We want to hear what you have to say. Please tweet us at @Revive_POC as well.
Hashtag what's buzzing.
Hashtag Revive. Let's hear it. Let's talk about it. Let's spark these conscious conversations. That's what Revive is here for. So I'm going to just play a clip for y'all really quick. Stay tuned.
And we are following that breaking news on NBC 10. Philadelphia District Attorney Seth Williams indicted. The city's top prosecutor is facing nearly two dozen charges, including bribery, extortion, and fraud. It all stems from an investigation into nearly $160,000 in gifts for Williams. Tonight, a federal prosecutor slammed Williams for betraying his role as district attorney.
As the indictment alleges, Mr. Williams was willing to compromise his position of public trust in exchange for private financial gain. And that allegation is even more unfortunate, given the fact that he was elected to protect the interests of the people of Philadelphia as their chief law enforcement officer.
Now for expert insight on the legal process and what's next for Seth Williams, let's welcome in legal analyst Enrique Letoisen.
All right, Enrique, you are a defense attorney. With all of these texts and other evidence, how do you think lawyers will defend Seth Williams?
Well, they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that one thing was for another thing. It cannot just be a casual connection. Now, you can go to NBC.com and you can read the entire indictment in its full. And when you read it, you can look at it one way and you can say to yourself, you know, he asked for something and then his friends asked for something. And it seems as though he's doing something for his friend and his friend is doing something for him. But you can also look at it a different way. You can say, just because someone is doing something for someone who happens to be a district attorney, it doesn't mean that he's doing it as a bribe. This is not an explicit payoff. When you read the text messages and you read through the indictment, there's nothing that's actually explicit. I will do this for you if you do this for me. So he does have a lot of room to be defended. He's innocent to proven guilty. And I think that's how they'll go about defending this case.
The implications here could be far-reaching, though. Enrique, does the DA getting indicted have any impact on current cases?
Well, it's definitely not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Everyone that's indicted or right now arrested for financial crimes doesn't get a free pass just because the actual district attorney is arrested now. However, it gives every defense attorney a good position to be able to stand up in court and say, hey, the actual district attorney had a similar situation, and he's not guilty, and therefore my client's not guilty. And the actual district attorney had a misunderstanding with some things that might have looked bad, and therefore you can apply that to my client. It puts a district attorney in a very bad position to be prosecuting a case when the actual district attorney himself is charged with these types of crimes.
Seth Williams does not have to resign despite the indictment. So do you think he will stay?
I do not believe so. I mean, this is a stain upon all district attorneys in this county and other counties. It looks very bad to be a district attorney and having your actual chief, your person that's in charge of everything, to be charged with these kind of crimes. You're having an election season going on right now. This is going to be the talk of the town. This is not going to die down. For the sake of everyone that's beneath him and for the people that he's supposed to be in the leadership role above, I believe that he will step down, and I believe it will be very bad for him to stay on.
Thank you so much. So the promise and the peril of Seth Williams first came into focus a dozen years ago when he unsuccessfully challenged his one-time mentor in the 2005 Democratic primary for Philadelphia's district attorney. Williams was ambitious with fresh ideas to reinvigorate the office. Williams was arrogant with messy finances and unpaid bills. That duality remained a constant even after he ultimately captured the office in 2009. The worst of it, Williams never outgrew. A federal grand jury indicted Williams on Tuesday, accusing him of abusing his power as the city's top prosecutor to seek bribes to finance a high-flying lifestyle. Williams' quest for a legacy as a reformer was crushed under the weight of his inability to live on a $175,572 annual salary. Prosecutors allege Williams took bribes of airfare, vacations, a custom couch, a convertible Jaguar XK8, cash, and other valuables in exchange for helping two local businessmen, one of whom had a friend facing criminal charges and the other a felon in danger of losing a liquor license for a bar he owned in San Diego. Those who saw Williams up close said the weaknesses described in a 23-count indictment, a taste for luxury, an obsession with the trappings of office, and a drive to please those with access to money and power, where they were from the start. The last two people who held the office before Williams, Lynn Abraham, and former state Supreme Court Justice Ronald D. Castile, once saw potential and problems for the young prosecutor who joined the district attorney's office in 1992. Williams stands accused of raking in $54,465, including $34,145 in bribes and $20,319 in money that was meant to pay for his mother's care in a nursing home. Family finances were a problem even as Williams sought elected office. His then-wife, Sunita, filed for bankruptcy during his 2005 campaign, leaving his name off the petition that cited $71,000 in credit card debt. His campaign that year made 12,707 payments to his wife. An additional $9,762 in campaign funds went to her in 2008. I always thought of him as very smart and going to the top of whatever field he chose, she said. Bishop says she is not bitter about Williams' decision to prosecute her and she is mystified that he is now the defendant in court. He was the great black hope. Everyone rallied around him. He wanted him to succeed and make changes that would affect us. The president of the Pennsylvania chapter of Black Lives Matter quoted. My opinion is with politicians, I'm a little always iffy about them. If they're true, I'm paying tax dollars. I'm from Jersey, but I work in Philadelphia, so I'm still paying taxes. And I would like to know, where's my tax dollars going that you feel as though you can put money to elsewhere to bribe and get monetary a different way, if that makes any sense. I feel a little frustrated because that, what am I trying to say? I feel a little frustrated, but I'm not surprised from a politician. What do you think?
I agree with you. It is kind of frustrating, and also it's not surprising as well. But before we get into this topic, we do have to pay some bills. So I am going to go play. I'm going straight to this commercial break. I'm going to play a quick song for you guys, go to a commercial break. We'll be right back to talk about, you know, the Philly District Attorney Seth Williams and what's going on in the city of Philadelphia, because we all live in Philadelphia. We're all paying taxes in Philadelphia. We're all going to school in Philadelphia. So we do want to know what's going on in our city and in our communities. So that's why I really wanted to bring this topic to you. And I'm thank you, Harmony, for even bringing this up for us today with the district attorney. I'm sorry, I'm still in the DC thing with the girls. Well, with the district attorney in Philadelphia. So we are going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this commercial break, we will tap into this conversation. We'll be right back. Once again, you can tweet us at @revive_POC, or you can call at 215-490-9832. Once again, 215-490-9832. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Away. represent the struggle that has gone on for 300 or more years.
We're not Americans. We are people who formerly were Africans who were kidnapped and brought to America.
And I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed and the ghetto without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government.
It's a common misconception that Europeans gave us Black History Month. In actuality, it spawned from Dr. Carter G. Woodson. He was a visionary who believed history should be used as a source of motivation and a weapon against misinformation and the intellectual warfare against Black people in the diaspora. So he began developing the concept of Black History Week. Yes, that's where it started. And this concept came to life in February of 1926 and later turned into Black History Month. He chose the month of February because this is the month Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln was born. He acknowledged Lincoln for signing the Emancipation Proclamation, and naturally he believed Frederick Douglass was an example of determination for all Black people. Woodson was a dedicated scholar, a passionate writer whose pen stayed in constant motion, who was constantly teaching and documenting, all for the advancement of Black people. Dr. Woodson was the founder and publisher of the Journal of Negro History. He was a regular columnist for Marcus Garvey's weekly journal, Negro World. In 1915, he founded the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. In 1920, he founded the oldest operating African American book publishing company, Associated Publishers. And he wrote over 20 books. And his most famous work was The Miseducation of the Negro, which was written in 1933. Many Black scholars find this prolific book even more relevant in today's day and time. But just as important as who fought for Black history is why.
First, you have to realize that up until 1959, Africa was dominated by the colonial powers, and by the colonial powers of Europe having complete control over Africa, they projected the image of Africa negatively. They projected Africa always in a negative light. Jungles, savages, cannibals, nothing civilized. And why, then naturally, it was so negative until it was negative to you and me. And you and I began to hate it. We didn't want anybody to tell us anything about Africa, and much less call us an African. And in hating Africa and hating the African, we ended up even hating ourselves without even realizing it. Because you can't hate the roots of a tree and not hate the tree. You can't hate your origin and not end up hating yourself.
May I say something to you to give you a true knowledge of yourself and life, so that the same glory and success attained by other men who understand themselves may be yours? Man, in the full knowledge of himself, is a superb and supreme creature of creation. When man becomes possessor of the knowledge of himself, he becomes master of his environment, the captain of his own ship, the director of his own destiny, the accomplisher of his own ends.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you realize that one of the great aims of all those who would enslave or who are enslaving is to keep the truth away from them? This is a tactic, a well-known tactic. Keep the truth out. Don't let the people know.
Much like these other great leaders, Dr. Woodson, having obtained his PhD from Harvard and being a professor at Howard University, saw firsthand how African American contributions were constantly overlooked, ignored, and suppressed by the writers of the textbooks and the teachers. And with Woodson coming from the world of academia, he was also very critical of how the institution of higher learning dealt with Black people. He believed they were pushing out educated servants that were thoroughly indoctrinated, not people who would return to their community and knew how to create their own. But instead, producing individuals that would depend on the same people that subjugated them. Dr. Woodson spent his life motivating Black people with their history. His last work was the Encyclopedia Africana. It would have been a 6-volume work, but on April 3rd, 1950, at the age of 74, Dr. Woodson was laid to rest before it could be finished. Black History Month was never intended for us to restrict the learning of our history to February only. It was simply a way to collectively wake up our consciousness from what we were not being taught. Dr. Woodson understood that we cannot rely on any institution or any other race to teach us about us, which is why he devoted his life to writing our history for you. And for that reason, this great ancestor, we are.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
So welcome back. Greetings and blessings, beautiful people. This is Harmony, the goddess. And before we went on break, we were discussing Seth Williams, D.A. Seth Williams. And I really just want to get everyone's opinion. And if you have opinion, please call in 215-490-9832. Tweet at Revive underscore POC. So studio fam, how do y'all feel about Seth Williams?
The whole Seth Williams case to me is really just... It's not surprising why, because the city of Philadelphia has had so much corruption when it comes to their politician and things of that nature, from down to Shaka Fatah to his son to now Seth Williams. And even before Seth Williams also put another council person, I'm sorry if I'm quoting it wrong, or another state representative, something like that, in prison as well for receiving a bracelet that costs, you know, over a certain amount of thousands of dollars. So it's not really shocking to me. It's actually something like, oh man, here we go again. And then for Seth Williams, he was the first African-American male to be the DA of the city of Philadelphia. So for him to let us down like this is crazy. And then to understand even the bribes, and to even understand that it was over $160,000 yearly, is crazy. You know what I mean? We're out here struggling for this $7.25, because in Pennsylvania, the minimum wage tax has not, the minimum wage has not raised, the living wage has not raised, but the DA office is receiving $160,000 just in gifts and bribes. Like, that is extremely serious. So it's like, where's my tax dollars going? As you were saying, Harmony, it's like, what is really going on out here in Philadelphia? Because to me, I even, just to be, you know, petty for a second, when it comes to the trash and recycling here in Philadelphia, it's nothing. Like, we have no kind of policies. We have nothing going on. There's trash everywhere in the middle of the streets. The abandoned buildings on every block, abandoned houses on every block. But the DA has the nerve to get $160,000 in bribes. Like, come on. What's going on? Like, you don't even know what's going on in your city. You have a drug epidemic war going on in your city. Gentrification going on in your city at its best right now, and you're over here doing your own thing. So my question is, like, were they actually really for the people? And then when it comes to Shaka Fatah and his son, it was pretty much the exact same thing. Buying new Jaguars and putting roofs on their homes, and Seth even was, you know, being dirty to his mom when it even came down to his mom and the nursing home payments and things like that. He didn't even have the decency to make payments for his mom on time, you know? So it's like, what are you really out here doing? These are the people who are controlling our bills, controlling our funds, controlling different things that are going on in the city of Philadelphia. And I'm not originally from Philadelphia, but I've been living here for a while now. And to just see what's going on every day, it's really just a huge, big wow, W-O-W, like, wow, really, again, we have politicians, corrupt politicians, that we voted for, because you have to understand, we voted for these people. They wasn't chosen. They were chosen by us, the people. We voted for these people. So it's like, we have to pay more attention to what's really going on in these elections, in these midterm elections and things like that, because Philadelphia is falling apart, you know, even down to Mayor Kenney. I don't even like his proposed bill that he made with his, $3 billion plan, $5 billion plan or something like that for the city of Philadelphia. He's building parks and recreation centers for our youth. But how, if we can't even afford to get in these schools, these charter schools that you're now building, you know, charter schools are now getting public funded money, grants and things like that. So we just really have to pay attention to what's going on out here in each individual cities. Shuhar, what were you going to say?
I think it's very, very unfortunate to see Steph go down. I'm calling him Steph, like that's my friend. But to see him go down in such a way, and I think that our minds are really one-tracked. And what I mean by saying that is that this is going to be on a stain on his career. Then everyone's going to look at the DA's office as crooked or different things of that nature. And it's only really one bad apple that spoiled the bunch. So it's just really unfortunate. And the fact that on their website, they basically state that the DA's office in Philadelphia is the largest prosecutor's office in PA, and it's one of the largest in the nation. So people are probably looking up to us, and the fact that it has to go down in such a way, not saying that the office is going down, but the DA is going down on gifts. I think he, like, repaired his roof, and that was, like, it's just, yeah, a Jaguar. Like, you just have all these nice things where a lot of your employees aren't even really even getting a fair salary. So it's for your benefit, but you get up there every single day or different things of that nature, and you prosecute people, or your office prosecutes people. So it just makes me question, like, where's the standard? And it's easy to accept these gifts, but did you forget the oath that you took to basically serve the people? You weren't serving the people when you were accepting those gifts. You were being selfish and only thinking about yourself.
And that makes a lot of sense as well, because when it comes down to accepting these gifts, it just makes all of us think, you know what I mean? We want nice things too, Seth. We want nice things too. So we definitely just have to pay attention to what's going on out here. And then also, it kind of hurts my feelings as him being the first African-American male to be in this, you know, dominant position as the Attorney General of the city of Philadelphia, which is a predominantly Black city when it comes to, you know, African-Americans. And he pretty much let us all down. You know, we had high hopes for him. You know, we really wanted him to do something for us as a people. We thought that he was going to prosecute cases for us in our, not necessarily in our favors, but the correct way, the right way, you know what I mean, and not be above the law. And that's exactly what he did. He felt as though he was above the law, and he broke the law on many different occasions. What, he has about 23 counts of indictment right now for different things that he did. And once again, that's just a big WOW. Wow, like, what is really going on out here?
And it's unfortunate because even in the media, they slander Black men, definitely slander them on an everyday basis, unfortunately. However, when it comes to Black people who have a prominent role, and even in Philadelphia, we have Louise Williams, who is a Black female. Seth prosecuted her. We have Shaka Fatah. Now it's Seth Williams. So I think that there are amazing African-American politicians in the city of Philadelphia. Now they're going to have to work as if they already didn't have to work 10 times harder. Now they're going to have to work 1,000 times harder to make sure that they're following everything by the book and make sure that they dot every I and cross every T, because it's such a spotlight on them to basically ask them, or they have to ask themselves, like, am I doing everything right? Am I serving the people to the best of my ability? And I think it's difficult because when people do get in these type of positions, they let power get to them. And that wasn't your original goal. You took office hopefully to serve the people and to protect the people and to fight for people behind closed doors. But once again, there's a lot of things that go on behind closed doors that people are not hip to. City of Philadelphia DA's office serves 1.5 million people in the city of Philadelphia. Now we're all looking at Seth Williams. So, okay, well, you prosecuted this person. You prosecuted this person. You are not above the law, just like you said. So Black politicians who are out there doing the right thing, continue to do the right thing and do not be taken advantage of by people. Do not let your white friends get you in trouble.
Don't let your white friends get in trouble. That's funny as I don't know what. That's the line that every African-American child gets when they go to a PWI. Hey, you're going to college. Don't let your white friends get you in trouble. Because when they get in trouble, you're going to get in trouble 10 times worse than what you would get, you know. So
if they even get in trouble.
That's true, too. So that's funny as I don't know. That resonates so much in my mind when you said that. But I do want to thank Harmony the Goddess for the What's Buzzing series today. I know it was pretty long, but we wanted to go in depth about these different current events that are going on out here, because it's really important that we understand and we have our own understandings, you know, based on what's going on here. That's why we wanted to bring that conversation to your forefront with What's Buzzing. So once again, I want to say thank you, Harmony, for dropping those gems on us today with those different current events. But before we wrap up your series, I do want you to just tell the people where they can follow you, and also, just pretty much shouting yourself out. Thank you once again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone. And you can find me on all social media. It's Harmony the Goddess. On Twitter, it's at Live in Harmony, the number 3. Once again, live in peace, not pieces.
And hashtag always What's Buzzing, so she know exactly who y'all talking to. So hashtag What's Buzzing always. But today I do want to get into the show. Oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. I'm looking at the time like, where did the time go? Time is hating on us right now, guys. Time is hating on us right now. But I do want to get into the show. Today's show is entitled Self-Realization of Womanhood. And we all three came up with this show topic because we really want to understand, as you know, Women's History Month wraps up, we just want to understand what being a woman is to you. So we do have a proposed question today, and I do want to ask everyone in the studio as well as getting you guys' opinions out there who's listening. If you can give us a call at 215-490-9832. Once again, it's 215-490-9832. I do want to ask a proposed question to you guys based on the entitlement of our show today, which is Self-Realization of Womanhood. The question is, what does being a woman mean to you? And I want to start with you, Harmony. What does a woman mean to you? Because you're the oldest woman in the building. It's like, nah, I'm just playing. What does a woman mean to you? What does being a woman mean to you? That is the proposed question of today. So I'm asking everyone out there today, what does being a woman mean to you?
Being a woman means, one, it means, first, I'm a human being. I'm always a human being first. And I feel as though being a woman is the epitome of humility and also stewardshipness, in enduring the strength from the mind, the body, the heart, and being able to nurture and being able to uplift and be this goddess, this infinite being, having this human experience. Being a woman is an amazing thing, and I love it. I love being a woman, but it's first about being human first, and then also being the epitome of humility and stewardship.
I agree. I definitely love being a woman. I love being a black woman. No shade to any other race out there, but being a black woman is just the epitome of resilience. It's the epitome of grace. Honestly, I think when you asked the question initially, I thought of I'm every woman. And I started jamming in my head, but I couldn't break out and dance in the studio. But I think it's just simply amazing. Like, just like Beyonce said, we can pop out a baby and then get right back to work. So I think that not only do we embody such strength, such resiliency, and just, honestly, perfection, but there's so much shade that comes with being a woman as well. So it's beautiful, but it's also a uphill battle in certain instances. So I love being a woman, but being a woman as a black woman, I think that self-care is very important. So we have to take care of ourselves on top of being resilient. So I think that's just a reminder that I have to remind myself and other women around me that it's okay to give, but you want to make sure that you have time, space, and just take care of yourself, because you're only one person. But being a woman is everything.
I agree with you as well. God knew what he was doing. You know what I mean? God knew exactly what he was doing when he made each and every one of us individual women. You know what I mean? And we need to come together as a total package of women out here. And because we run this world. If we don't understand that we run this world, I be trying to tell you guys, we run this world, you guys. We have the power. The power is in our hands. We just have to claim it. You know, everyone thinks this is a man's world. This is a man's world. No, not at all. Because there will be no man without us. There will be no man without a woman, if that makes sense. So the first thing that comes to my mind was, what does a woman mean to you? Is privileged. Like, I feel privilege. I'm thankful that, you know, I'm a woman. There are times throughout a month, you know, for about 7 days, I'd be like, dang, you know. But other than that, I'm pro privilege. I'm honored to be a woman, you know what I mean? As Afia said, a black woman, there's no separation between the two, but a black woman, a strong black woman. So that's the, and also just reproduction, I should say. Reproduction is really one thing that also sticks out into my mind when I think of me as a woman, because I have the ability to create. You know, my body has the ability to store another body for 9 months. You know what I mean? So just being able to reproduce and just having the privilege of saying, like, yo, nah, not today, you know, not today, because there's a lot of things you want that I got, you know what I mean? So it's just privilege all in general. So that's one thing. But to get back onto the topic of the day, self-realization of womanhood, you know, that title within itself just speaks so much value, you know, and I hope everyone out there is adapting to the title as well, because when we first came up with it, I was like, yo, this is what we need to talk about. We need to talk about, because as, like I said, Women's History Month is wrapping up, but we all talked about, you know, women's history, and, you know, feminist this and the women's movement that, but it's like, we have to first understand what a woman is. You know what I mean? We have to first understand what a young woman is. We have to first understand what a girl is, because there's a difference between a girl, a young woman, and a woman. So I'm going to ask that question to you guys. When do you go from being a girl to being a young woman to being a woman? In my opinion, I feel like a girl is someone who's free. I feel like a girl is someone who doesn't have so much stress and who has not even experienced, you know, her first menstrual cycle yet. You know what I mean? Life is still free and joyful. That's what I get from a girl. Like, a girl is someone who's just free, running wild, trying to be a butterfly, you know, someone who's trying to break out of that cocoon and let her wings fly. That's what a girl gets me. And then a young woman is the actual butterfly. You know, we have broken out of the cocoon, and now we have these wings and we're trying to fly. We're trying to create our own lanes. I really think that a young woman is very, it's serious. I feel like everyone needs to go through that young womanhood phase in order to be a woman, because the next stage is a woman. And then I think a woman is someone who knows herself, who knows her character, who loves herself, who got to know herself, who found herself in the different journeys and experiences that she went through as a young woman. You know what I mean? Because that young woman creates that woman you're going to be when you are, you know, in today's society, just to wrap it up around the question. But I really feel that there's a difference between a girl, a young woman, and then a woman. And I really feel that a girl needs a childhood. You know, I feel like every woman should have had a childhood, should have had that ability to be a girl first, you know, just to understand and get, you know, keep your ears wet a little bit, you know what I mean? So you can have that time to be innocent, you know, because every young girl should have her innocence. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's important that we all go through these stages of being a girl, a young woman, and then becoming these women that we are today, these powerful women that we are today. What is your opinion, Afia?
You definitely have to crawl before you can walk. And that is basically just very telling, that just like you were talking about, the processes from going from a girl to an adolescent to a woman, not only is it physical, but it's also by your experiences. And I think that sometimes in life, our experiences are the best teacher outside of the classroom. So being a woman, we're going to go backwards. Being a woman is handling your business. You handle your business at all times. And it's not just about paying bills. It's not just about going to work, but it's about handling your business on the home front, at work, at school, and you are sure of yourself. You like yourself, you love yourself, and you ultimately just know who you are. That's being a woman, and you're confident. You are, I think that's one thing that I haven't touched on yet. As a woman, you are confident. You know what you bring to the table. Shoot, you might even bring the table. So I think that is just something that is woman, being a woman, you have to remind yourself sometimes, but you know that you're a woman. And there's no age. I know they say 18 or 21, you're fully grown or the mind is developed and blah, 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 blah. But no, because you have a lot of 21-year-olds, 25 and up, and 30 and 50, that they have the age, but their maturity level is like a young teenager or a young girl. So that's being a woman, just handling your business. Being a teenager is just experiencing life, being carefree. Hopefully everyone had the opportunity to be a teenager. But my generation, I see that you have a lot of teenagers and a lot of young girls that think they're women already. I'm 15 and I got little boobs and I got a training bra. I'm a woman. Girl, if you don't go sit your little self down. I told one of my clients the other day, I said, you're 15, you want to be all grown, but you still have baby teeth. And she looked at me like I was crazy. But it's ultimately like you still have to go through the process. Don't rush it. I think that's a message to all our younger selves. Like, don't rush to grow up. Because once you're grown, you're grown. You're an adult longer than you're a child. So I think just enjoying your youth. But that's being a teenager, just being carefree and going to prom, you know, just going, doing all the teenage things, hanging out with your friends, just getting to know people. And being a girl, you're carefree as well, but you have the ability to make mistakes. You are a child. Nobody's going to look at you, well, you should have handled your business. Well, you're a child. You're still learning. So I think putting yourself in a position to learn, and hopefully you have parents and guardians and adults and productive, you know, productive citizens who are around you that can teach you those ways. So being like being malleable, just and being like a sponge, just being able to take everything in so you can, you know, go along your journey. So that, I just did like all three phases, but that's pretty much my two cents. How about yourself, Harmony?
In my opinion, I think that it's all about where you at mentally. Like you announced earlier that it's not about age. There's no age. Like, when are you really a grown woman? When are, like, what age are you when you out of this, the girl stage? And that's the beauty of being a human being, is that we do go through these stages. But I think it's more so about where you are at mentally, being that a girl is carefree and should live youthful, but still a woman should have that youthful spirit as well, you know? So I think it is, if you're mature enough, that's when you step to the next phase, which you said earlier, Ms. POC, about the butterfly stage. You know, you come from the caterpillar to the cocoon to the butterfly. We all have to go through these phases, and I think it comes from when you strengthen your mental ability and you take on responsibility, you take on about your own actions. And yeah, so that's what I got.
So I definitely agree. When you were talking about the butterfly, I was just imagining like the process that a butterfly has to go through. Like, you first, you just this ugly little caterpillar just crawling around, just moseying along. And I do it. Does a caterpillar know that it's going to be a butterfly? No. Like, it has no clue about what the future holds. So I think that's a beautiful thing, that just not to get stuck, like not to get stuck and just know that change is coming, whether you see it or not. And then you wrapped up in this cocoon, so it's just like, oh my gosh, why am I here? I'm stuck. And you feel stuck, but I think it's not, you're not stuck. It's a growing process. That's what exactly what I was about to say. It's a growing process. And then you just pop out, you glow up, as we would say, into this butterfly. And it's like, wow. And I think even a butterfly has to grow as well. Like, you never stop evolving. So I think that's a beautiful thing, that you have to go through, I guess, the quote-unquote ugly phase. And it's not even talking about physically. It's just, you just have to grow mentally, everything, all the different phases. You have to grow and continue to develop. And I think that once you get to your butterfly stage, it's such a beautiful thing. And it's you look back and say, wow, I'm not the same caterpillar, or, you know, I'm not the same caterpillar that I was, but it's that experience that makes you so 10 times more grateful to be that butterfly. So we sound like we're on the animal planet, but
I think it's very important, and that's why it relates to self-realization, because we understand who we are as a girl, as a young woman, and as a woman when we grow up. Mm-hmm. That self-realization is very, very important and very imperative, and the experiences that we go kind of shape us to who we are meant to be in this world.
Definitely. I think it's a knowledge of self is right. Key. Knowledge of self is definitely key. And as POC, and I think as we all touched on, is knowing yourself, loving yourself, and knowing that there's a quote that basically says, like, life isn't about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself. So knowing that you have an empty canvas that you can paint your own picture is a beautiful and just it's a powerful thing. Yes. You better paint that, girl. But no, I just think it's such a beautiful thing that you can create, and the fact that you're never done creating. Right. A butterfly can fly, be in one place one day and literally be in a total different place the next day. So just being open, and I'm probably gonna touch on this in a true series, just having an open mind and just knowing that, like, my journey isn't over. Right. And once you're not stuck, because as a butterfly, you have wings. You can fly anywhere you want to, just as long as, you know, you don't hurt yourself or anything. Make sure you keep your eyes open. But I think it's definitely just, it's such a beautiful thing. I love being a woman. I'm going to jam as soon as we get out the studio to All the Ladies Night. And I'm every woman. I'm going to celebrate being a woman today.
Phenomenal woman.
Just everything. POC, how you feeling over there? What you think?
Y'all answer like 10 questions. I was trying, you know what I'm saying, cut y'all off, but y'all was doing y'all thing, so I was with it, because my next question is, what is self-realization? You know, what is, you know what I'm saying? But we still have to answer this question for the people to understand, because this is the topic of the show, self-realization of womanhood. And I can say that I came to self-realization of being a woman when my mom cut me off. I really came to self-realization, like, yo, I'm becoming a woman. I'm becoming an adult.
Like monetary, or she cut off your senses? Like, what happened? What happened?
Cut me off. She still hasn't cut me off fully. I mean, like, she cut me off to the point where she was like, yo, you got to now do for yourself. It's about self now, you know, self-endearment, self-care, self, you know, all of that. So it was like, all right, I got you. So now I have to put on this cape, you know what I mean? Because we all have different capes, or we have different hats, however you want to throw it out there. And I had to put on this different cape, and I had to become this superwoman, you know what I mean? I had to be able to take care of myself and understand that, you know, what my mom may want for me in life is completely different from what I want out of life. And that's when I came to self-realization, like, yo, I'm about to step into my womanhood, and I have to, you know, adapt to it. I have to become this woman. I can't run from it. It's no time out. I can't say, you know what, life, time out real quick, I'll be back. You know, it's no pause. You know, I gotta keep going, I gotta keep fighting, because, you know, as females, as women, I'm not gonna call us females, because I'm gonna talk about that. I do want to talk about that. Female, we have to stop addressing each other as females. We're not females at all. We are women. Why? Because females are things such as animals, right? You have a female dog, you have a female cat, you have a female cow, you have a female chicken, a female ant. And if you think about it, is we don't say, hey, look at those males over there. We'd be like, look at those men over there. You know, but when we address females, we, hey, look at those females over there. Those females what? You know what I mean? Because once you say females, you or the females or males, you simply say female what? Or male what? What kind of male? What kind of female? You know what I mean? But we as human beings, we are women, you know? And my sister actually touched on me about that, because one of the episodes I did on Revive, I kept addressing us as females, and she checked me crazy, like, yo, I'm not a female, I'm a woman. I'm not a female, blah, 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 blah. Because you're not going to say I'm a female human being. You're going to say I'm a woman. Simple. It's no other, you know, grammatical way to say it. It's just that I'm a woman, and it's now resonating 1,000 times in my brain every time I say the word female. I like, you know, I'm a woman, and that makes sense. So I just really wanted to touch on that too, but that's what came to mind when it comes to answer the question of self-realization, is like, yo, I had to just pretty much adapt into my womanhood. I couldn't say time out. I had to take the obstacles for what they were for, and, you know, kick down that door, you know, just literally just kick down that door and become a woman. And I'm stepping into it, you know, every day, every minute, every hour is something new that I'm learning, you know. So definitely that's what helped me to understand what self-realization of womanhood was, you know, just being cut off, like, yo, it's on you now.
And just like I stated before, I think that being a woman is handling your business. And when you thought, when you talked about having a cape, I automatically thought about, you know, you see like the ladies' room sign, it's like the woman with the dress. And there's a meme out there that says it was never a dress, it was always a cape. So I think that that's just so cool and an image that reminded me, it's just like we do so much as women. Like we really are Wonder Woman. We really are just so powerful. And I think that we could just put all that energy and all that power in a ball and just touch every woman that we see. Like, you know, you are powerful. You are beautiful. You are this, that, and the third.
Or that.
Yeah.
Uplifting each other. I think society has allowed us to always be in comparison, always in competing. And it's like we're all different, but yet we still vibe off some similarities as well.
I totally, totally agree. We need to lift each other up and build each other up. And that's one thing that is missing in society. Can you imagine? I know on another show we talked about the Women's March, but just everybody fighting on one accord and fighting for one thing, because it is, you know, unfortunately we do live in a patriarchal society. I'm probably getting off topic. I can rant all day. But it's just like we have to recognize that we have the power. And I know that we did experience like a day without women, which is essentially, you know, similar to the day without immigrants, but people didn't go to work. And even if you look at a lot of industries now, they are led by women. So I think that self-realization, just going back to the original question, is just knowing that you are the sugar honey iced tea. Because I don't want to personal air. Yes, you're a cherry on top, or you're all that in a bag of chips and a jalapeno dip. Not to be childish. Yes. Not to be childish, but I think that's just certain things that we have to remind ourselves every single day. Like, you know what? You're a woman and you're powerful. And just knowing that you're all that when you do walk in a room. So self-realization for me was, oh my gosh, when I went to college and I was like, what? I was 17 at the time, when my birthday is late. And then when I graduated, I was 22. And I'm like, oh my gosh, all this time went by. And people are looking at me like, well, you're a college grad, or what are you going to do? And how are you going to live the rest of your life? And I'm like, stop talking to me. Just stop talking to me. I can't handle this right now. And then as you continue to grow, I mean, I'm years out of college now. But even if you look at high school, I graduated high school. Let's just say I'm approaching my 10-year anniversary very, very, very quickly, and quicker than I thought. So I think that as going back to what I was just talking about, the evolution and just continuing to grow, I think self-realization is just when you get to a point or you have that moment in time and basically just saying, I'm not the same person that I was a month ago, a year ago. And I think that just having conversations with self and just realizing like, wow, this is who I am, and just bending and not breaking. So you can bend, you can take a whole bunch, but you just gotta snap back and always stay with it.
That reminds me of the gospel song, when we fall down, we get back up. But self-realization for me is just creating that space. I feel as though I'm self-realizing every single day. Every day I'm trying to understand who I am as a woman, as a human being, as a creator, as an adventurer, as this infinite being having this human experience. And so my self-realization is constantly trying to understand what's my purpose in this world. What am I here to do? Who am I here to touch? Why am I living to not allow someone else's existence to matter as well?
And I think that's definitely just all about creating yourself. And I think that knowing that you want to be a better version of yourself every single day. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be the same person I was yesterday. And if you fall, you stumble, and, you know, you weren't the kindest, just be like, oh, dang. Like, let me address that one part of myself. And as a whole package, be that whole, that doesn't make any sense, but as a whole package, be that whole package. Right. It just...
Be your best version of yourself.
Yes. You took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm sorry.
All right, let me get POC back in the conversation.
Y'all won't let me talk. I'm like, y'all can do y'all thing. But no, I agree with both of you guys were saying, and I'm glad that we all have realized that we have to step into this thing called womanhood. I'm glad that we all had the conscious mind, you know, mindset to understand that it's important to claim your womanhood, you know what I mean? Because some people out there don't want to claim it. Some people out there are actually running from being, you know,
a woman or an adult, as you should say. But we are going to go to a really quick commercial break. Right after this commercial break, we are going to have the Truth series brought to you by True Heart. So make sure you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back to Revive. Make sure you guys tweet us at Revive_POC. Once again, that is Revive_POC. Or you can give us a call at 215-490-9832. Also, before we go, True Heart, tell the people where they can find you at.
You guys can follow Higher Level Communication both on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at Higher Level Com. That's Higher Level COMM.
And Harmony the Goddess, you can find me on all social media at Harmony the Goddess on Twitter. It's Live in Harmony, the number 3. Live in peace, not pieces.
We'll be right back after this commercial break. Make sure you guys stay tuned for the Truth series coming up next.
Sometimes you see that I'm mad. No one can always be an angel. When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Black women in general, I think everybody thinks we're mad and angry and bitter.
I always get that I'm angry.
And there's not a black man walking around that won't tell you, yeah, they seem to be pissed off. Can I say pissed?
That we will not further our education or that we will become a statistic.
Smart enough? Can I handle it? Can I handle the task? Is it too much for me?
Aggravated,
loud,
loud,
and ghetto.
We're always loud and we're always ghetto.
And they're loud, obnoxious.
I think people think that as a black woman, all you're really good for is what they hear on the radio, which is sex and sex and having babies and then some more sex.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth? It's the truth series.
Welcome back to the Truth series, everyone. I'm so grateful that you are tuning in today. This is True Heart here, back with another episode of the Truth series. I honestly missed being on the air and giving positive light and just energy through the airways to you all. But it's been an adventure and just a fabulous, fabulous few weeks. So, once again, this is a reminder, as always, that the Truth series is brought to you by Higher Level Communication, which is my baby that provides daily inspirational posts, communication tips, and hopefully in the future definitely comes in some consulting. So you can follow Higher Level Communication on Facebook and Instagram at Higher Level Communication and Twitter at Higher Level Com. That's COMM. So be sure to follow Higher Level Communication so you can get your daily inspirational posts, communication tips, all that good stuff. Definitely midday, in the morning, all that jazz. We're going to have some uplifting words and encouragement for you all. Let's jump right into it. I just got back from my excursions. I actually landed yesterday evening. I feel like I did Saturday all over again because it was just way too much. But my excursions, I traveled to Dubai, UAE, Abu Dhabi, UAE, and Doha, Qatar. So, excuse me, I know I said earlier that Abu Dhabi is a country. It's actually just a part of the United States and Emirates. But the vacation was nonetheless amazing. And yes, they're all Middle Eastern countries, and what we see on the news is actually not true. I feel like there's a few bad apples that spoil the bunch, especially living in Trump land. Right now, it's being an American, and we're looking at, we think that everything in Middle East is ISIS, and that is not the case. It was a truly amazing, amazing experience. Bringing it back to the Truth series, I'm so filled up. I could probably go on and on and on and talk for hours about my trip. But one thing that I want to say and express upon you guys is the importance of having an open mind. And having open mind is the topic of the Truth series today. Being open to new beginnings and new experiences is essential. I cannot say that enough. Being open-minded will take you places that you never imagined. So I wanted to bring some lessons or some tips or different things that I learned on my vacation, and I wanted to share them with you all, of course. So the first one that I thought about was not only having an open mind, but rid yourself of misconceptions that you have. And misconceptions will ultimately block new experiences, friendships, and relationships that you can face. Another realization that I came about, we're talking about realization today, another realization that I came about was that nothing you want in life is unobtainable. And that's the ultimate truth. Guys, when I say I experienced some things that I've never experienced before, skyline views, rooftops, different things like that, I stayed in one of the largest hotels in the world, which is 72 floors. And just really being so humble and grateful for that experience, being able to go to the border between Doha and Saudi Arabia and just seeing the sea was absolutely amazing. And this isn't to say, oh, hey, look what I did. Not at all. It's basically to say, if I can do it, anyone can do it. Nothing you want in life is obtainable. All you have to do is set a goal and go for it. Connect with people, network, and you never know where that may take you. So having an open mind, setting goals, and letting you remind yourself daily that nothing you want in life is obtainable. Another lesson that I learned was words are so powerful. So, obviously, in the Middle East, English is not the first language. And I think as Americans, we think that everyone wants to be like us, so everyone knows English. And that's not the case at all. Their main language is Arabic. But I think that words are so powerful that you just never know who you may interact with. And you have to watch the words that you say because they can either uplift or tear down. So I think that that's just something I wanted to impress upon you guys, is that just remember that there is power in the tongue and you can either speak life or death. But traveling, there was a language barrier. So a lot of times they spoke English or they, you know, knew enough to get by. But I think that nonverbal communication is also key as well. So just reminding myself that body language and nonverbal communication as well as verbal communication is key. And the language barrier isn't always an actual barrier, because a smile can say 1,000 words. Be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient and just know that everything is going to work out. That's one thing that I had to tell myself. Yesterday was a 13-hour flight. To get there was a 12-hour flight. So you're not in control when you are on the plane. All you have to do is sit there. Thankfully, they had dope movies, and they just kept feeding us and giving us just unlimited everything. So I appreciated that. It made it go by. But just being patient, and patience is definitely a virtue. So, and I think that it's just so beautiful meeting genuinely nice people. It's so refreshing. I think that in America, everybody is just on the go and not necessarily thinking about the next person. But I think going to another country, everybody knows we're American. I think one of my friends actually stated, one of the cab drivers asked him, well, did you vote for Trump? And he said, well, do I look like I voted for Trump? But I think that America has a spotlight on us, and people from other countries are looking at us. So I think that that's where the open mind comes in. So being able to facilitate a conversation and have a conversation with someone who is looking like, oh, you're from America, you obviously voted for this person and different things of that nature. But being able to shift their paradigm is beautiful and have the conversation. And apparently his taxi cab ride wasn't too bad. But that was like one of the first questions that he asked. But I think having genuine conversations and being friendly and meeting people is overlooked in the States. And lastly, I just want to state that you have to take a step back and appreciate the small moments. You have to, because if you don't, you're just keep running. You're not going to be able to experience different things. You're not going to be able to truly appreciate things. And my aunt told me during my trip that traveling is a good way to know yourself and learn more about yourself. And guys, when I cannot scream to the top of my lungs, and I totally agree with her. You have to get out of your four walls. You have to get out of the radius of your own home and your community and go out and explore. And my segment was not about traveling. It's just the experience that I had that has changed my mindset and really just ultimately, not to be dramatic, but changed my life. And I think that I'm a better person for it. I can't wait to hop on my next flight. But having an open mind, not being able to let negativity and different things like that tear you down. Because when I told people, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to Dubai, I'm going, well, you ever seen Taken? I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, I've seen Taken. But just having, that's where an open mind comes in, because it was so beautiful. I lie to you not, pictures cannot even capture the amount of beauty and the amount of time and energy that they put into rebuilding a city. And they're so progressive. They had like an automated tram car that doesn't have a driver. I went to the mosque and just experiencing a different religion. So not to get on and on and on and on and on, but if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can call in at 215-490-9832 or tweet higherlevelcom, or you can even tweet revive_POC and hashtag the truth series. There's a lot of way to get in touch. Also, be sure to follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at higherlevelcom. If anybody has any questions about my trip, anybody wants daily inspirational posts or different, even personal motivation, you can email me at higherlevelcommunicationco@gmail.com. Again, it's higherlevelcommunicationco@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you all out there. But if you want to talk to me right now, you can always call in at 215-490-9832. But guys, I just leave you with this. Just have an open mind. Just go for it. Let go of the control. Let go. Honestly, break the chains and just go for it. Experience change. And you make yourself vulnerable. That's not a bad thing, to make yourself vulnerable, because when you make yourself vulnerable, it could be one of the greatest and scariest things, but you see the world, and you can see the world through an open mind, and you'll ultimately gain confidence and strengthen yourself. So that is the truth series, and today we talked about having an open mind. I'm telling you a little bit about my excursions to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and Doha, Qatar. Just like POC said before, guys, if you do not have a passport, just get one. Even if you don't use it immediately, just to have it in the tuck and being able to, the opportunity presents itself, go for it. My boss told me the other day, stay prepared so you won't have to get prepared. And that was just a message that I continue to take from her. But that's another episode of the True Series, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is your girl, True Heart. I'm signing off. But I'm not signing off until you guys go follow me at Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook. And Twitter at higherlevelcom. All right, I'm really signing off now, but thank you guys for the opportunity. I look forward to talking to you soon. POC, what's up with you?
Before we leave today, I did want to propose, well, thank you once again for that truth series. It was definitely amazing hearing about your experiences and opportunities, and also just having an open mind. I do believe having an open mind is key in every 24 hours that you are blessed to see, because you never know what's going to be thrown at you, and you have to be able to, go with the wind sometimes. So definitely having an open mind is very imperative in, you know, the 24 hours that we see every day. So I do thank you. The Truth Series will be on every Sunday. Also, What's Buzzing will be on every Sunday on the Revive platform as well. But before we go, I do want to ask this last question, because we didn't really get into the self-realization of womanhood because we were talking about so many other different things. But that's the best part about having a conversation. You know, we just allow our minds and our energy to just flow, and we started juicing each other. So the conversation was getting better and better. Like, yo, let me get the mic. So I completely understand. And I thank you guys always for being in the studio and just being a great team, being the great team that you are, helping to make sure that this platform is going to be the greatest that it is going to be. Because, you know me, greatness is a choice. I'm going to scream that to you guys for forever and a day, that greatness is a choice. And I hope you guys have understood and accepted that choice as well. But the question that I want to propose to you guys is, because I actually had this conversation with someone too who is a feminist, but she said, well, the question, I'm going to say the question is, what is a feminist and what is a black feminist? Or is there even a difference between a feminist and a black feminist? I really wanted to get this question out today as we talk about the self-realization of womanhood, because I want to know, you know, how do you identify yourself with everything that's going on here, all the struggles that we're having as women? How do you identify yourself? Do you identify yourself as a feminist in general? What is a feminist to you? And is there a difference between a feminist and a black feminist? I'm going to propose this question to you, Trueheart. And wrap it up, too.
All right. Now, I was a women's studies minor in college. For those of you who do not know, I'm sure many of you do not know or even simply do not care. But I was a women's studies minor, and I was introduced to feminism, and I thought it was amazing. I'm like, oh, my gosh, a movement that's about moi? Oh, yes, I'm down for it. But as I continue to learn and expand my mind. So I was a feminist, and I think that feminism means that you just want the same, as a woman, you want the same respect, treatment, and equality for as men. So let me repeat that. You want the same respect, equality, and just rights as men. And we live in a very patriarchal society. So I think that feminism and the movement is important. But as I continue to expand my mind and learn about different things, then I learned about womanism, and I learned about being a womanist. And that's basically the movement that essentially came out of the feminist movement, where black women didn't see themselves in the feminist movement. This movement is not for me. So, at per usual, we created our own movement, and it was called womanism and being a womanist. So I still do identify, I think there is, I'm not going to say they're the same thing, because I think womanism, or woman being a womanist, you fight for the equality and the rights and the fair treatment of African-American women. But I think feminism, it is still such a largely predominantly white women movement that you really don't see yourself in. So, and it's hard. You can't separate being black and being woman. Earlier, I stated with pride that I love being a black woman. And those are two things that I can't separate. I don't wake up one day like, hey, I just want to be black today. Wake up another, hey, I just want to be a woman. No, those are two things that I am. So I think that I definitely would align myself more with the womanist movement. Or you could just state that you're a black feminist. I have a lot of friends, actually Hispanic, white, and black, that state that they're feminists. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Even I have men friends of all different nationalities who state that they're feminists, which are men are very important to the movement. But I'm wrapping it up now. How about yourself? What do you think, POC?
There's a huge, huge difference in my opinion. But before I get started, because I'm going to go on a rant, I want to hear what Harmony the Goddess had to say.
I think being a feminist, or being a womanist, being a feminist is striving, definitely striving for to be treated fairly, to be treated as a human being, to be treated with dignity, with respect, just like another human being is. I don't see us as an object. I see us as a subject more so. And I support being a woman, being a human being, and that's where my support is. I wouldn't say that I'm just a feminist, but I do support
having the same opportunities or the same things that other people, that the other gender has as well. And so I just think that being a feminist and being a woman is all, it's all about striving for the just being treated fairly, treated.
Equality.
Absolutely.
Leveling the playing field is important. Absolutely. Let's just say that.
I agree with both of you, but at the same time, I think there's a huge difference. I'm going to always say this. I cannot separate the two. I am a Black African-American woman. I cannot separate the two. I can't just be a woman one day and I can't just be Black one day. I'm going to always be both from the until the day that I die, from the day that I was born to the day that I die. And I'm going to live in eternity, so I don't think I'm ever going to die. I think my soul is going to continue to go on. But that's a whole nother story. But I think there's a huge difference. I honestly, sometimes it's hard for me to wrap my mind around this feminist idea, because I feel like sometimes the feminist movement does not have anything to do with us as African-American women. I'm sorry, as African-American women, it really doesn't have anything to do with us. It didn't even start with us. It wasn't even our struggles that it started with. I pretty much feel that when it started, the feminist movement started, or the women's suffrage movement started, we were just a bunch of signatures on their petitions because they needed more Y chromosomes. I think that's what we are. I think they needed more Y chromosomes on that document at that time in order. No, I think we are the X. I'm sorry. I'm over here having a whole biology moment in my head. But we had, we were just pretty much signatures on this document, that allowed them to get their numbers up, to get their polls up. So when they, brought these to their councilmen and women, they were able to show that they had numbers, a large amount of numbers. And that's all we were. We will forever be numbers with these things called social security cards, but that's a whole nother story too. But, so I just think that we were numbers when it came to this feminist movement. So I don't think it ever had to do any of our struggles or anything that we were facing at that time when it was started, or when it, you know, was born. That movement was born. So I can, and I don't think there's a such thing as a Black feminist, because when you define a Black feminist, you're still giving the definition of a feminist. So it's all one thing. You can't sit here and say, oh no, I'm not a feminist, I'm a Black feminist. What's the difference? When if I ask you to define it, you're going to give me the exact definition that dictionary.com gave me for a feminist. So it's no other way to define it other than you just putting your color in front of it. Mind you, you're not even a color. So how are you going to put something, say Black feminist? Why are you not an African-American feminist? True Heart, since you want to be all technical, I'm just saying.
But isn't a Black feminist or a African American feminist a womanist?
Explain, because I'm not going to agree with you. Explain.
So, just like I stated before, I am a Black woman, and I initially identified as being a feminist because of what I was exposed to. I love my professor dearly, but I was being taught by a white woman. But as we talked about it and kind of got to learn more, then I was talking to my mentor, who's you a feminist, she shaded me so much, you a feminist, well I'm a womanist, and then that created the conversation. But womanism is a social theory based on racial and gender based oppression on Black women and other women in marginalized groups. So Black feminist, African-American feminists, you guys might as well just call yourself womanists, because that's what the movement was created for.
So then there's no real, so that's what I'm saying. So you're proving my point by saying that we are trying to adapt or be part of a movement that has nothing to do with us.
No, you just create your own movement. The womanism is a separate movement from feminism.
Exactly. So I'm going to blah you right now and say blah, because you're contradicting your point, because once again, we cannot separate the two. I cannot just be Black one day and I cannot just be a woman one day. That's every day. Exactly. So we do not actually fit into this feminist movement. You're making my point. There's a huge difference from being a feminist and being a womanist, because we don't fit in. It's not for us. It's not about us. It has nothing to do with our struggles. Maybe we are probably, you know, fighting the same struggles with, you know, Caucasian women or, you know, Indian women or Asian women, but we all have our different struggles. I'm sure they're out there making their own movements as well. As easy as you said it, like, no, I just started my own movement. You know what I mean? You can't just be out here popping up with different movements based on, you know, your own.
It was started because we didn't necessarily, or the black women at the time didn't see themselves aligned with the feminist movement. When they had the suffrage movement, for example, black women were made to walk in the back. They were not a part of the initial movement.
Proving my point once again.
All right, let's just agree to disagree.
All right, we with it. No, we actually agreeing with each other. We're just saying it in different ways because we're both proving each other's point. We're just saying it in different ways. But yeah, it's no such thing as a black feminist, in my opinion. I'm not going to take it away from other people's opinions, but I don't think there is a such thing as a black feminist, because you can't define a black feminist differently from what you would define a feminist. And I feel like it would always go in that order, black feminist, you know what I mean? Or black woman, if that makes sense. We are always going to be seen as black before we even seen as our genders. Our race would always be first before we even see gender, if that makes sense, because that totally makes sense to me. But I really wanted to just get that question out since we were talking about the realization of womanhood. Because we have to realize, you know, what we are fighting for right now. You know, as we are all going through our different journeys in womanhood, we need to understand what we are fighting for when it comes to these equality things that we want, you know, to be equal on. So definitely need to understand the fights. We need to have a better understanding of the equality that we're looking for as, you know, women in general, as a total package. We just really need to have a better understanding of that. We need to have more conscious conversations like we have here on Revive. And I do want to thank everyone out there who is supporting and listening to us always. I really do appreciate the support. As well as the support that is given from, you know, you guys listening into the Truth series, as well as What's Buzzing. It's important that we have, you know, these different segments as well, because we're bringing different topics up. We're bringing different ideologies up. We're bringing different kind of comments up, theories and things of that nature. So I'm always going to thank both of you, True Heart and Harmony the Goddess, for holding it down each and every Sunday. Stay tuned, because we will have the Truth series as well as What's Buzzing every Sunday here on Revive. I always want you guys to, you know, communicate with us, get into us, you know, we are here for you. We want to adapt to you. We want to adapt to the listening audience. So if you have any topics or anything you want to hear on the show, Revive, you know, send me an email at revive.poc@gmail.com. If you feel as though this is a platform for you to express, you know, your views and opinions, and you want to, you know, be on Revive to talk about something that you're doing in your prospective communities, also give me an email. Shoot me an email at revive.poc@gmail.com. You can tweet me at revive_POC. Once again, you can tweet me at revive_POC. You can give us a call during the show at 215-490-9832 for your engagement. We're looking for your engagement always. Once again, that is 215-490-9832. You can listen to us live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Also every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can tune in to us at timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can just go directly to the TuneIn app or the TuneIn website and just search Time for an Awakening, and you will hear my voice live every Sunday, every Wednesday. It's your girl POC. But before we wrap up, I do want to get a quick understanding about what's going on when it comes to this American Affordable Care Act. So Harmony the Goddess is going to read a brief description of what's going on when it comes to this Affordable Care Act, ACA, because it's really important that we understand what's going on. We're also going to play a clip on the way out, just so you guys can have a better understanding, because I really want to educate you guys as millennials, because it's important that we, you know, we know what's going on out here. We really need to know what's going on out here. Every day there's something new. Every day, you know, the news is getting faker and faker. So we need no fake news. We need this real news. And that's what we're giving you here at Revive. So before we leave, I'm going to pass it to Harmony the Goddess once again for giving us a little clip about what's buzzing going on with this American Affordable Care Act. So Harmony, what's buzzing out there?
Hello, beautiful people. I'm back, Harmony the Goddess. So this article is about the Affordable Health Care Act. When Republicans pass the Affordable Health Care Act, will you be able to purchase handguns and Bibles with your insurance card, but not birth control? That was just a question that was imposed. There have been a lot of distractions in 2017. Despite the rise of the alternative right, Steve Harvey's relentless Trump filleting, and the birth of alternative facts, at least police killings have slowed down this year. In 2016, it seemed as if cops killed a black man every few minutes. but maybe all the attention finally got them to realize the error of their ways. We hardly ever hear about police shootings anymore, and it is good to see the law enforcement officers have figured out how to stem the alarming epidemic of police killing people of color. According to the Washington Post database that tracks police shootings, 237 people have been shot and killed by the police this year. This is 14 more people than had been shot and killed by police at this point last year. If you count all the people who died during encounters with police, including tasers, physical force, and other methods, the total jumps to 278 for the year, 5 more than last year at this time.
Thank you for that. That's really important that we understand, like I said, what's going on out here. So I really do appreciate that. I am going to play a quick clip before we leave today. And I just want to thank everyone who's out there listening. Once again, continue to support. It's your girl, POC. I'll be back on your airways on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Stay tuned because Revive is in full effect every day. We in full effect. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Revive_POC. You know what time it is. Have a good one.
From Fox News in New York, I'm Shepard Smith. This is breaking news coverage of the Republican health care bill on Capitol Hill. Fox News has now learned that the president has just asked that Speaker Paul Ryan in the United States House of Representatives pull the Republican version, pull this new health care bill, and in essence, the repeal and replace of Obamacare, the new Republican version, is now dead. The problem was the Republicans did not have enough votes on Capitol Hill to pass it. The early reporting from major newspapers across the country was that they could only lose 22 Republican votes. All of the Democrats were voting against this thing. They could only lose 22 Republican votes, but they were going to lose much more than 30. Some of the people who were going to vote against it were from a very conservative group within the House of Representatives, a conservative group which calls itself the Freedom Caucus. They are Tea Party types from across the country who had said, if this is too much like Obamacare, it's too much government intervention. They didn't want it because it was too much big government in the middle of Americans' health care. And then there were the more moderates who looked at this bill and said, this eliminates Medicaid for a lot of our constituents. A couple of congressmen from New Jersey said today, we just can't be on board with this because of what happens with Medicaid. In the long run, this bill was originally scheduled to have saved about $340 billion from the deficit. They had to put a new version together to try to appease more Republicans. And the cost savings went down to $150 billion. That's over 10 years. That was a problem for many Republicans as well. The long and short of it is, as Fox reports this hour, in 17 minutes, the House Speaker Paul Ryan is set to hold a news conference. The President of the United States, who was late as last night, said that he was very confident they'd be able to get this bill passed. The White House Press Secretary, Sean Spicer, spoke just a short time ago saying there is no backup plan. They want to repeal and replace Obamacare and that they were going to get the votes to do it. In fact, they have not. And now there is some degree of paralysis on Capitol Hill, on the TV screens in Washington right now, all over the Capitol at a time when this vote was supposed to be happening. Instead, there is this screen with the Capitol on the back of it. And I think in our control room, we can bring it up for you. The House is in recess, subject to the call of the chair. In essence, what this means is they've hit a snag. Paul Ryan has met with the president, told him we just don't have the votes. Since then, we're waiting for a Paul Ryan news conference. And our chief political anchor, Brett Baer, is live in Washington. Brett, it's not as if this is an enormous surprise, but it certainly is a setback for the president's agenda.
It is, definitely, Shep. I think they thought that they could squeak it out, that they could twist some arms, and then by putting the ultimatum that you are going to move forward with the vote, that was in itself a negotiating ploy to get some of these Freedom Caucus members, the more conservative members of the House, off the fence. But we were told that there were numerous meetings on Capitol Hill of congressmen who were meeting, talking about the substance of the bill. And this became about the policy itself versus the personality and the agenda of the president. And these congressmen fought on principle and said, this bill in and of itself does not get it done for us. And they were continually saying that they were no's. They were trying to get to yes, but they were no's on this vote. We were talking about 31-34 no votes, Shep, as of late this afternoon. And now we're told that the president, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, asked Speaker Ryan to pull this bill And I guess we'll get more detail from the speaker himself about next steps and what happens. I think what you could definitively say is that this is a major setback for the Trump administration.
We have lots of...